This is the Creative Sports Podcast. My name is Justin Peterson.
And joining me are Darius Thomas.
If I screw this up, I'll just dub it on the back burner.
And Brock Rom.
Once it's edited, the whole thing flows, you know.
Amanda J. Kane is joining us on this episode to talk about her path to the NHL. As the first black photographer in the league, she talks about the importance of creating opportunities for women photographers, and how her mindset has shifted to building a program just as much as getting the shot.
I got to pull up time that is. There it is.
Cool. Let's clap on 28.
28. Wow.
That was pretty good.
That's probably the best we've done. That might be the best one. And a lot of tries.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Today, we have a very special guest. We have Amanda J. Kane, the manager of photography for the San Jose Sharks. Amanda, welcome to the show, to the podcast.
Thank you.
All right, let's just get right back into it, or right into it. You are a trailblazer. You are the first Black female photographer of any NHL team, and obviously the first for the San Jose Sharks. Kind of talk about your path to get here and what that means for you.
Have to get to the current position. So I'll start by saying pleasure to be on the show. I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. Spent my first 23 years there. Went to school at Central Michigan University to study graphic design. I thought graphic design kind of be that avenue for me, trying to make money, but then again, trying to like keep my folks happy with my decision of like getting a career in which made money, because they, well, I would say my dad didn't really know, and I didn't know either, whether art would be it. So it was very interesting to kind of like decide that, because I had started college with sports studies kind of major, and then sidetracked to education, and then moved to art. So it was kind of like I didn't know what I wanted to do. And even still, like to this day, looking back at it, probably shouldn't have done graphic design, but you know, it's got me here. So, I started off my career off in New Bedford, Massachusetts, there at the newspaper. I met a photojournalist named Peter Pereira, and the rest is pretty much history. That day, talked to him for about a couple hours, met the other photographers there as well. I had worked across the hall. And photography was just something that it was just it. It just clicked. And, you know, since October 2010, I've kind of been in it full time, whether that's been in the beginning, like friends of friends, shooting friends of friends, or photographing, sorry, friends of friends, trying to build a portfolio, trying to teach myself lighting. Not to say that I'm completely self-taught, but there was some college education, did take some photography classes while I was in that design program. So not completely self-taught, but when it comes to strobes, I would say I was self-taught. So that was like, that lasted about 2 years. And then was like, yeah, took a road trip, because at that point I traveled like any time that I could get out of the state of Massachusetts, I was gone. it wasn't necessarily the correct spot for me at the time. Like, I was young. Now, looking back at it nowadays, I'm like, man, it'd be nice to have some nice quietness, you know, go to Cape Cod, do some things. Back then, I wasn't trying to do that. But took a trip to Texas, thought everything was bigger in Texas. It is technically bigger in Texas, but other side notes, interesting, but you know, it is what it is. Back then I was like, yeah, why not? I moved to Texas, moved to Houston, Texas, stayed with my cousin, And that's kind of how I developed the, I guess, started to build my portfolio around sports. Started with the Houston Press. They were just like, yeah, you want to go to the Dynamo game? And I was like, sure. There was no concept of making money yet. It was kind of just the whole thing of, well, I get to shoot U.S. women's national soccer team, which looking back at it, I'm like, I don't even know how to get back to that now. But like, I had all those opportunities in the beginning that I was just like, okay, cool. Like, the next thing I'm going to do is be a team photographer. Yeah, wrong. But I did start my journey in newspapers. And so I went through a couple of newspapers, one in Clute, Texas, and one in Humble. I think they're now, they were bought out by the Houston Chronicle, I think a couple of years ago. But, you know, decent papers and learned a lot, shot a lot of sports, high school sports. And then that just kind of carried throughout the next 6-7 years of like, yeah, I love sports, but how do I get into it? You know, that led to, you know, wanting to move up to California, which was probably the, I wouldn't say the dumbest move, but I was young. I was a youngster, had fun, but wasn't making money. And by 2016, it was kind of like a, you need to figure out what you can do to pay bills instead of like going back to parents and asking for money and stuff like that. So I moved back home. That was the reset. The reset led to me going back into newspapers, but then realizing that higher education was kind of more of my speed. And so I jumped from newspaper to education. And 2017 was really kind of the pinnacle of like where this all started of me kind of developing what I do now. I was given the opportunity to kind of be creative. I had bosses that really kind of hired me for my skill level. You know, I can't say that in the past I was necessarily hired for my skill level. You know what I mean? It was kind of like the, she's young. I'm sure I bothered them quite a bit during the interview process. And they're just like, yeah, cool. But was it really, you know, the fit for me? Not really. So when 2017 came around, it was kind of like, I need to find that fit. And so Eastern Kentucky University was that fit for me for the next 2.5 years. And I enjoyed it. And I got a lot of experience with shooting kind of college athletics, shooting like presidential events, shooting, you know, any kind of department of stuff you can shoot or photograph. It was very time consuming and exhausting, but it's kind of the way sports works as well. You know what I mean? Like you're kind of always thinking about things. And so moved from Eastern Kentucky University to Purdue because, you know, there has to be an up. And I was the only photographer at Eastern Kentucky University. And Purdue was hiring, I want to say I was the first African-American photographer that Purdue hired back in 2020. And so what I thought I was going into was, you know, me going into this monumental university that is globally known. And for all I've heard, I was like, cool, this is awesome. The first event at Purdue that I went to is just kind of like a, you know, they were coming out with their new brand launch. And one of the, I guess, minority services employees were like, you know, I remember coming on this campus as like an 18-year-old and being called the N-word. And I was like, is this the right place for me? Like, it was already in the back of my mind. I was just like, okay. Needless to say, there's a lot of racism at Purdue. Did not really understand that until I got there. Just like with most things, you don't really understand until you're actually in it. And once you're in it, you've kind of either got to be like, okay, this is my mindset, or you've got to be like, okay, this is not for me. Luckily, COVID came along. And I basically decided, I was like, hey, I'm here. you know, I'm going to do the best I can, but I don't want to shoot like anybody else, but I'm here. You know, the money was good. I was there. But mentally it kind of sucked, but I wasn't prepared to be let go. So it was kind of like, you're stuck in the middle of something and then you finally get let go of something and you're like, okay, probably the best thing, but it still hurts. They basically let go of 10 people in our department at the end of June of 2020 and gave us like a severance pay, which was cool. Probably got me through the next 3 months. And then finally found another job in Logan, Utah for iFit. It was, what I say about Utah, there's not many things to say about Utah. It's very Mormon cultured. Everybody, and my favorite word is click, because I don't like click and I despise clicks. And I feel like religion cultures are clicks 100%. So moving to Utah was kind of like a really? But working for iFit at that time, they had developed kind of live fitness classes, and they basically did 14 afternoon ones and I think 14 morning classes. So I was there from usually 1 to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, photographing kind of behind the scenes of what happens during these classes, and then photographing for the web, the bike, the treadmill, whatever module they were on. That is what I photographed for. So it was fun. Met a lot of great people. But in the end, I kind of knew it wasn't the end spot. A lot of repetition went into that. And so with that repetition comes, let's try the sports thing. So I've applied to sports jobs, I don't know, probably like maybe I wouldn't say 10 times a year, you know, knowing that you either have to be an intern, a youngster, or you have to know somebody to get into those roles. The thing that stood out about the Sharks was their diversity inclusion description at the bottom of their site. Yes, everybody has one by now. No, everybody does not like kind of stick to those values. The one thing the Sharks did was kind of made it seem like they are really serious about it in the interview process. And so I did my due diligence and researched the heck out of the job. I think when it came down to it, I was one of four women that were in their final six. And I am happy to say I got the job. Definitely, you know, said the right things, did the right things to get the job. And now with being here after a season, it's been great. Did I expect more from this organization, I guess, when I first got here? Not really, because I think every job that you go to, you kind of learn that most companies, even though they mean well, they don't necessarily always have their shit together. It's a process. There's a lot of turnover, especially within sports. So people are coming in new the same time that you're coming in new. So there's a lot of like growing pains, I would say, last year, because my boss or the person that hired me left in November. And so I was like, wait a minute, I was going to piggyback off of you for 3 months. And that couldn't be a thing. So that was okay. We got through it. Small little roadblocks in between, but all in all, it was a successful season besides the record. But yeah, now we're in this monumental change right now. So like everything seems to be changing, new people getting hired. You know, we've got departments basically that are, you know, hiring full departments. So, you know, we're just kind of in the season of change and hoping that, yeah, they can finally get a Stanley Cup. I will forever be a Red Wings fan. So it's kind of hard to be here sometimes, because they'll throw like 90 series back at you. And I'm just like, yeah, but we have Stanley Cups and you don't. So, you know, but yeah, that's the path. that took way longer than I expected, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask a little bit about, you know, your eye for photography, and you went through, you know, your education as a graphic designer. How much of your eye pulls from your graphic design background and your design background? Like when you're framing, and sports can be chaotic, right? And you're not always getting the frame you want, but you know, when you're looking for frames, are you looking for, you know, framing obviously, but certain texture, certain color, how much of that design background plays into your current work?
That's a good question. I don't think I think about it in that sense nowadays. It used to. Nowadays, you just go out and you just kind of know, like, how I want to frame something. Like, if there is an advertisement behind them that's a major partner, like, it just, conceptually, it just comes. And then sometimes when it's not there, framing-wise, there's a thing called cropping. And making it seem like it is there, even though it was not there. So graphic design definitely plays a part in it. And I can see, like, when I look at past posters or whatnot, and I'm just like, man, I used to be a designer, didn't I? But, you know, I'm so past removed from that. Like, in the moment, I'm not ever thinking about graphic design. So, but it does play a part.
Awesome. And to kind of, you know, talk about that inspiration or crossover from graphic design to photography, let's talk about the inspirations for you as a photographer. Where or what does it come from?
The original inspiration came from skateboarding. I used to collect skateboarding magazines, used to collect kind of the BMX, I used to love Red Bull stuff. Like, I used to like envision myself as one of those photographers. Though I had no idea how to get to that point. Still working on it. But I don't know. I'm a creative person. So when I see it, I see it. And I can't necessarily describe to you how I get to that point, but like it literally happens at like the 11th hour. And I'm sitting and I'm watching a documentary and I see something on a documentary and I'm like, that'd be cool. Where's my phone? So it's, yeah, I would say that's where most of my inspiration comes from. Like, it's not concrete. It doesn't happen at certain times. I wish I could say it was always planned, because even when you do plan things, we all know in the photography creative industry, it never goes to plan. So like, knowing that, like, I'm always like, okay, if I'm on set somewhere and I see something, I'm grabbing it. You know, it's kind of like those little moments. We had the press conference for Mike Greer, and my second shooter was shooting some shots, and I saw it. Like, I saw the shot and I was just like, can I grab the camera? Can I get this really quickly? So it doesn't happen that often, but when it does, like, I'm usually like, yeah, I need that shot. So
so you've been with San Jose for a full season. Kind of talk about a little bit about that experience, is what you've enjoyed and what's kind of your favorite part of being a part of an NHL organization. And you mentioned, like, growing up, you're a Red Wings fan. So did it ever hit you at any point, or were you ever thinking that maybe one day you'd work in the NHL?
No. Long story short, last year about this time, if someone would have said hockey, I would have been like, no, it wasn't a thought. Like, from childhood to all the way to probably like 22 years old, you know, I was still watching hockey. From 22 to 34, probably not as much. You know, I didn't really know what was going on in the league, per se. Like, I grew up when, you know, same age as Sidney Crosby, Ovechkin, a year older than me. Like, those are names that I know. Any of these, like, young kids now, just like that, were, like, drafted in 2010 and 2018, no idea. But, you know, I mean, hockey, I think, going back to childhood, And growing up, you know, in a Christian household, Baptist household, to be exact, you know what I mean? Like, you always hear the phrase, you know, God will, you know, lead your path, direct your path, and put you in the position that he feels is needed. And so, no, I would have never said hockey, but for some odd reason, hockey wants me in it. So, and the Lord wants me in it as well. So that's why I'm here. So
what's your favorite part of being in it?
I would always say with any job, meeting other coworkers. I usually have the tightest knit with the receptionist. You know what I mean? Like every job that I've ever had, you know, I can always go to a receptionist and talk about anything and everything. And that's the same point here. There's a rotation of receptionists here, but they're all really down to earth people, quality people, and will talk to you about anything. And it's kind of awesome to have those kind of breaks from like working on a computer, photo editing or photographing a game, you know, to be able to like discuss, you know, issues that you see arrive or like just personal stuff. So I would say employees, definitely.
So you are the first Black female photographer in the NHL.
Yes.
What does the league need to do to get the second and the third, right? How does it expand and become more diverse in the creative field?
It's a good question. You know, number one, I don't just think it's an NHL problem. It's an entire professional sports issue right now. You see some, but then it's like we take two steps back, you know, and then someone says something on Twitter and it's like, okay, you know what I mean? So it's like the little handouts. And so NHL wise, it's going to be up to the presidents and the owners and the general managers, dare I say it, to kind of really want that to happen. There are tons of people within, I know, the Sharks organization that feel strongly about certain things that you just haven't seen until Mike was recently hired, you know, but that's something that, you know, like a person I know, like they've been wanting that for years. So a team like us doing it, great. A missed opportunity, I think, when presidents say, when someone's asked, oh, you know, why was he chosen? Why did you choose the first Black GM or X, Y, and Z? And they don't necessarily say, they were like, yeah, they were the best candidate. And sometimes I think you need to say, we are looking to diversify our organization. And he was the best candidate. Adding that part in there gives or sends a strong signal to a lot of other organizations, because obviously that in that same week, I believe other organizations went in and said, oh, we're going to hire a female as an assistant GM. You know what I mean? So it gives you that leeway to be like, this is okay. Right. Now, my back thought to that is, and I forgot your question now. Damn it. Well, no, I know your question. But how does the NHL move forward with that? You've got to give them a chance and let them do their job. Right now, he's being bombarded, I'm sure, with press, which he probably doesn't mind at this point. But fans of the NHL, they're rough. And they, on Twitter, on social media, period, like, they will let you have it regardless of who you are. So my hope is that, you know, moving forward, I think other teams need to start thinking diversity, inclusion, and actually acting on it. It's just not a thing that you do. Yes, you have a qualified pool of candidates, but actually wanting to change your identity, wanting to change your brand, has to be in the forefront. If that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. And on that same subject, the NHL's efforts in expanding the sport to more than the audience that has forever been there. I mean, you've seen an increase in Black players off the rink, off the ice positions like GM and photographer and another team with the first Black announcer and all that. What are you've kind of touched on that, but what are your thoughts on the actual sport making a concerted effort to actually do some of those things? Because, like, if you look at some of the other pro sports, like you touched on, some sports are, you know, making a great effort in doing that, but some sports aren't.
Hockey is expensive. You know, I think I heard recently about baseball being expensive too, and the lack of Black players in baseball. And I would almost say it's pretty comparable. I don't know the percentage of Black players in the NHL. Is it still 3%? I don't know. It's very low, which is all I got to say about that. You know, I would hope within the next 5 to 10 years, there is an up track to like 10%. And I know most people are like, yeah, that's wishful thinking. It's not wishful thinking if the NHL is actively going into lower income communities and giving these kids equipment and teaching them how to play hockey. Right? Like, it's not a hard thing for a league that has money. It's not, and it basically starts there. You know, one of the things growing up in Detroit, you know, a lot of other kids in my classes and whatnot, when I in grade school, they never went to hockey games. I was very fortunate and blessed that my dad took me to a variety of sports. I've never played hockey. Closest thing to it was like street hockey, you know, in front of the, you know, your house with your friends and whatnot. And my neighbors happened to be white. And so I was out there playing with them. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like a thing of, oh, I want to go play hockey. It was my friend. So, you know, his dad, you know, was like, you know what this is? I'm like, no. So it's kind of like you got to either have people have, I guess, execs themselves go out into these communities that they grew up in and hand a kid a stick and see what he can do with it. He or she can do with it. We have, I think, I don't know the stats on the Toronto Six League, Women's League, but they've been pushing some good numbers and there's been some good traction from that. But as far as like having a USA Women's Hockey League, I think that has been in discussion. But again, you know, you can have all these discussions, but when are you actually going to do it? You know what I mean? Money aside or not, we deserve to have a women's league with Black hockey players. You know, I think a lot of people talk way too much. You know, they're like, oh, we're going to donate X, Y, and Z. Okay, donate it. But then what are your actions going to be after that? And so I think it's the actions after that that need to happen more so with the NHL. You know, you need to continue to keep checking on these people that are leading the programs in these communities. Are kids getting invited to games? Are the local teams, you know, sponsoring, you know, these camps, opportunities to come to games? I know prices are crazy high right now, but like that's kind of the initiative that, you know, the NHL kind of needs to go in.
So we talked about your inspiration and where you kind of get that from. Let's talk about like people who inspired you to continue to show up in the space of photography. Were there any photographers that you kind of saw that, hey, I could do that because, you know, or ask questions like kind of how did you get into the photography, especially from I know you talked about someone at the news, at the newspaper or news station who you kind of had that. But growing up, kind of who got you interested in it?
I don't know. I can't say I had a lot of trying to think, growing up, like I had like the point and shoot cameras, like the little like throwaway point and shoot cameras. But there wasn't necessarily anybody teaching me. I always loved art classes. So those are, you know, art and physical education. Those were like my top two classes, normally speaking. But I don't necessarily think growing up from like ages 1 through 18, there was someone in particular that inspired me to do photography. You know, I think you go to certain places, you know, we went on summer trips, summer vacation trips, and I took a camera. And that was the thing. I think from 18 and up, you know, art professors that took an interest in me for sure. Margaret Ware, professor at CMU, Amissa Kaufman, who, you know, I thought was like, what? Who is this woman? but just uniquely, like there are little small things they would say that's like, you know, you're badass. Like, know that and own that. And so I think that's where the collegiate inspiration came from, with photography or with anything I did creatively in general. I think most people before me saw my photography work coming. I can't necessarily speak to that, but there are people in the past or from your past or from your childhood who say, yeah, I always knew you had an eye. And I'm just like, how do you know that? You know, like it's still surreal to me to think that little quiet Amanda, who was very shy and hate being the attention, like hated the attention, hated speaking in front of an audience, is now a 35-year-old who is a trailblazer and wants to speak to more up and coming photographers, you know? So I would say, as far as like people in the news, like everybody wants to throw out Gordon Parks' name. Heard of him when I was younger, but I, you know, inspiration, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like I was still trying to figure out who I wanted to be. So all those are really great photographers. And nowadays, I can probably sue off a whole bunch of names. But yeah, I mean, you probably just mom and dad, you know what I mean? Like just telling me to go out and, you know, do the things that I love to do. So yeah, I think that would be an inspiration when I was younger.
What from, you know, what you've learned and what you were told when you were younger coming up, what would you then pass along to a younger generation looking to get into the industry, maybe not necessarily the NHL, but to become a sports photographer? What are those, you know, kind of foundation blocks, you know, you'd lay out and advice you would give?
This is not a foundation, but be ready to hear the word no, and be okay with it. There's a lot of times where, like, I heard that word no, or we get an email, oh, sorry, we went with somebody else, and I always be like, well, what am I doing wrong? Not necessarily that you do anything wrong. It's just that there are other people out there that are equally as talented as you. Confidence is everything. So, and up until recently, and I was reminded about this, is that, you know, when am I going to start advocating for self? If I would have known that at age 22, and probably would have been a lot better off. But, you know, I just really started advocating for myself and for the things that I know that I deserve. I think, you know, young folks, teenage, you know, creatives that just know that's what they want to do, like advocate for yourself, regardless of age, regardless of, you know, what the job may be. You know how talented you are, you know how creative you are, you know, kind of put that. Say that in the interview, say that in the internship, like always keep pushing regardless of schooling, education, never count yourself out. I've known a couple people here recently who don't have education, are self-taught from high school level and are working full-time jobs. So while I know organizations sometimes have limitations on that, you know, it is definitely a new world nowadays when it comes to creativity, because creativity can happen at any age. And who's to say you can't hire a 16-year-old who's just as impressive? You know, it goes back to confidence. You know, have that confidence, be able to take that no, but also be able to afterwards put in the work and time to finally get that yes.
Outstanding advice. So to kind of further stay on that point is, let's talk about mentoring and helping the generation. I know you spoke about before, like that you like speaking to others, younger people in the industry and all that. How much of that do you get a chance to do in giving advice and also paying it forward to the next generations of maybe not even just photographers, but creatives in general?
Mentoring is something that back in 2017, I had no idea about being a university photographer at EKU. It kind of basically said, oh yeah, here's your position. You're also a student photographer. I was like, what? So learned the hard way, because students in general, you have those students that excel and you have those students that don't necessarily do it from the jump, and you kind of have to like guide them along. Instead of guiding them along, you know, I probably did 90% of the work because I knew I could do it. You know what I mean? Instead of giving them the opportunity to learn and do the work. So that's been a lesson. I finally got to a sweet part to where I was like, yeah, they need to learn, and other people need to realize that I cannot be available 100% of the time. You know, I think that's a big thing too within organizations, is they're just like, oh yeah, well, we want you to do it. You know, like, do you want me to give you my best, or you're going to get like subpar work, right? So that's number one with how kind of mentoring came about. And this middle stage of, you know, the kind of the career, I like when youngsters, especially on social media, they'll put out their work, and I usually just, you know, repost if I see something great, if I see something that's amazing, or if I'm like, hey, dude, that was a really good shot. Happen to be working with three or four of them just through DMs and chats and whatnot, and trying to get them. They're like, yeah, I want to do this and I want to do this, but I've had no success. And the biggest thing about it is you know their feeling, you know they're like probably not rock bottom, but like, how do I get back up from this? How do I take the opportunity to apply for other things and continue to tell myself, is this worth it? It's always worth it if you have the passion for it, legit. And so, you know, I've had a couple of people that have not had the opportunity yet. And so hopefully here, I can give some people the opportunity to kind of be part of the Sharks organization. With that being said, there's a lot of barriers in between. And so, you know, comes down to there's budget issues. There's, you know, if we don't have a budget, what can we pay them? And also I will advocate for the youngsters as well, because you know, when someone just wants to give you, I don't know, let's just throw out a number, $16 an hour for your time, that's peanuts. You know what I mean? Like, your time is worth a lot more than what some of these people are being paid. I mean, the opportunity, yes, it's awesome, but you've got to be able to live. So a lot of times, like, I'll tell people, you know, it's great, we have this job posting, but I really want to keep it local because I can't afford, or you probably can't afford to come out here and to live on this hourly salary or wage. You know, so I'm also looking out for you know, their financial well-being as well. Because some of them, they'll just go fly across the country and be like, I'll figure it out. Yes. We've all like, I guess, had that mindset at one point to be like, yeah, I'll figure it out. That was my California thing. Like, yeah, I'm just going to do this. I don't really have as much money, but I'll figure it out. And I really didn't figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, had to come back down to reality. So it's avoiding like the mistakes that I've made and trying to just help them, you know, understand that, you know, your time is worth more than you think. You know, even to myself nowadays, to where, you know, people ask me, well, what's your day rate? Like, what's all involved in this? You know, like, there's a lot of like variables that kind of like work into things. So I'm going to hire somebody. Like, if I want to hire them at something, it'd probably be like at minimum $1,000 a day, just because I know like everything they'll supply me with and the organization with is worth it. But the organization sometimes doesn't see that. So kind of just giving them the confidence, giving the flowers, if you may say, because I feel like even when you're young, you still get flowers. You know what I mean? You worked hard. You got yourself to this point. Why not get some gratitude for that? You know, like, it's a monumental thing. Like, what I'm doing, great. But I also feel like other people should get flowers too. So I appreciate the gratitude and, you know, everybody like wanting to be like, wow, this just happened overnight. I'm like, no, it didn't. But that's part of it, right? But everybody's journey is different. So every youngster out there, 20-something year old, needs to realize what's important to them. It's family gonna, it, well, I'm not saying family's gonna hold you back. But if like you're taking care of your ill grandmother, then do what you need to do at that point. You know, if something changes and you can move on, cool. But you need to realize what's important to you.
That's great advice. I think a lot of times we can kind of get in our own way in that sense. So that's great to like, you have to realize what's important to you and kind of, you know, do what's necessary to get to that point.
And also, I would say in this time and in this day and age, mental health is a big thing. And I can remember growing up and watching my parents go to work regardless of whether they were sick or not, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like the, yeah, I can actually call in sick or actually be like, I'm not feeling it today. You know what I mean? Like, there are so many advantages, and some people will say, well, they're at a disadvantage too, but positives and negatives. But you know, you have, this is the time period now. I don't know if this is going to continue. I hope it does, that people are starting to understand that we can't always go 110%. You know, with this interview here, I basically said I want to build a team. Because I've been in that position to where I was the only person. And you get worked hard. But that's not sustainable. So you've got to kind of like realize that a team, in most cases, is better than just being an individual.
So what would you like to see happen next? I mean, you got a year under your belt with the Sharks. What are some things that, like, looking back on this year, you know, that you've accomplished things, whether it's, you know, having great photos every game or whatever, like what can you do to build off of this year to move forward as the manager of photography at the Sharks?
Not worrying about the images. Most people be like, what do you mean? I think sometimes, as you said, you just stated, you get in your own way. So you get in this mode sometimes where it's like, that shot, I need that shot. It's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of got to understand that a game happens and there may be five goals scored. And that's what you're given. So how do you shoot that? Be present, stay in the moment. You know what I mean? Like, I, for the most part, I've worked on being present. A lot of times, you know, most people are like, yeah, I love your photography. And I'm like, and at this point in time in my career, it has been less about the photography and more about the trying to build something here that is sustainable and long lasting. They just moved to a team photographer, manager photographer role. And the guy that was here before me, Brandon, who is now at the Falcons. But that just started in 2018. So we're coming up on like their 5 years of actually having like a full-time staffer, whatever. And, you know, I guess he tried to do some similar things and didn't necessarily have, I guess, the personnel to back him up. Whereas now, like, I think with a lot of change happening, hopefully I can get the needs and wants that I desire. But, you know, it's like pulling teeth sometimes of organizations. And so the first hump that I got over was, we're not switching to Sony. Brandon had Nikon equipment before. But we finally got that switch. I guess there's a lot of talk in the past 2 to 3 years about switching, and they never got it done because the numbers didn't make sense. Got the numbers to make sense, and that's a done deal. So that's a win in my book. The next win will be when I can hire another full-timer, because we also have an AHL team and the Barracuda. And so they need to have someone full time. They're opening up a new arena. And currently they have a vacant position. So a lot of needs, a lot of, you know, kind of wants with that. But then again, that's not my pay grade. that's kind of above my pay grade. So learning to sit back and let it happen, I think would be is a challenge for me, even though what's worked so far is going to the source and being like, this is what I need. And then actually realizing, okay, we'll figure it out. But, you know, it's less about the photos. It's more about everything else, you know, social, getting, you know, the correct images, us being able to travel, you know, when necessary, or just to get different types of, you know, venues, because the season can't just be told, you know, 41 home games. It all looks the same. So being able to travel with the team, I got to travel 10 road games last year, great experience, got to meet some other team photographers, really all nice guys. Well, there's two women, which was great, but I think that's it. It's three of us. Yeah. It's three women, I believe. So it's been good, but obviously there's a lot more to do. There's a lot more to accomplish. Starting wanting to sell some of the Sharks photos, some of the creative photos to fans, limited edition type things. Those are all things that kind of we've talked about, and from my perspective, kind of need to happen, because I feel like fans oftentimes, you know, they're wanting that creative side of things and they don't see it in a team store, you know, so why not have like a photography wall? So there's a lot of things that don't involve photographing, but are a part of my role or what I'm trying to do here.
All right. So where can people find your work? And, you know, are you a type of person that likes when people reach out via DMs or in, you know, adding you on Twitter? Are you active on social?
I am active on the social handles that I want to be. I do not TikTok, whatever that is. Just not my thing. Probably should, but like I'm going back and forth here recently with either like doing an account or not doing an account. I don't know. I don't want to do these the reels where people are dancing. I know they're like popular, but I'm always a person that I'm just like, I don't really care about being popular. You know, I just want to share the things that I want to share. So IG, you can find me at Amanda J. Kane. Pretty simple. Twitter, you can find me at Graphic Amanda. The reason why it is Graphic, G-R-A-F-I-K, was because that was, I guess, started when I was a graphic designer. So, and that was part of like graphicamanda2009@gmail.com is my email, which goes along the same path. But yeah, those are really the two handles that I'm mostly on and will mostly take DMs, you know, because I'm really trying to help you as much as I can, you know. But most of it, what people don't realize is they already have the steps necessary. You know, sometimes we are afraid to ask the questions. You know, we don't want to be a bother. You know people got tons of things that they are doing, and you know, you don't just want to be the, I don't know, 1,000th email that they get, but it doesn't hurt to ask. So that is the biggest takeaway. Ask, and you never know, because there are still some things that, you know, I never knew that I could put myself in. And so recently here, I've been getting the chance to shoot some women's sports, which has been a passion of mine. Grew up watching the WNBA, grew up watching U.S. Women's National Team, and now the NWSL. So of all the years of wanting to get into that space, this year has been a year that I have been able to. So, you know, while I am in this position, I will always say I have other dreams and other aspirations. So please don't pigeonhole me to hockey. I love hockey and I respect hockey, and it's given me my name as it is, but I have done a whole lot of other stuff and I love it. You know what I mean? Just on an assignment recently here, and it had to do with higher education. And it felt good to be back on a campus, just photographing and doing portraits. Like, I'm not just a sports person. Like, I like to mix it up because it just adds variety. Can I also shout out somebody? Sorry.
Absolutely.
Black women photographers, Polly and the crew and everybody there. The amazing job that Polly has done with Black women photographers is phenomenal in getting in spaces here that I think most of us sit there and be like, we shot what? But it's been awesome. And it's been great to see these young women do some amazing things. I think we have some at Tracktown USA right now with Worlds and everything else. And the work that they are just producing is phenomenal. So just shout out to Black women photographers. Absolutely adore everything that they've done for me. So.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker, and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.